Hi, my name is Christy Walters, and I, along with my friend Jeff Bajorek, host the Why and the Buy podcast on the Sell or Die Network. It's August, and for us, that means our show is all about mindset. We have got some killer guests coming up, like Tom Singer, Tracy Thorson, and even the Sell or Die man himself, Jeffrey Gittimer. We have something for everyone here on the Why and the Buy podcast, so definitely check out our Monday musings and monthly book clubs as well. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Overcast, or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search The Why and The Buy. And remember, when you know your whys, your hows and your whats get much better.
It's time for a Sales Manager Spotlight, brought to you by Death Wish Coffee, the world's strongest coffee. And we're going to be talking to some of the world's strongest and smartest sales managers.
What they like, what they fear, how they hire. Doesn't matter if you're a manager, doesn't matter if you're a salesperson, it doesn't even matter if you're just a person. You're going to learn something from these top leaders from around the country.
And with that, it's time to get this week's Sales Manager Spotlight. Let's go to the boss's office. I promise, this time, it won't be scary.
Let's welcome Dan Shields, who many people have called Dan Shields. Over the years, he is a.
True.
Is that correct or not?
That's dead on.
Because we were doing it for a while, and then someone said, "No, it's Shields." I'm like, "Oh no." He is a sales manager for LGI Homes, the publicly traded home seller that no one's ever heard of. They are in Charlotte, North Carolina. Dan demonstrates two necessary leadership skills. Number one, profitability. And there is no better leadership skill than profitability. And he also understands how to build a team. As a member of his leadership team, Dan helped generate more than $500 million in revenue for developers and builders. Please help me welcome the great Dan Shields.
Hey, Dan.
Hey, I don't hear any applause.
No, well, the applause comes later.
It's silent applause.
Yeah, much later.
Golf clap. All right.
Exactly.
We're glad you're here.
Yeah, we're totally glad you're here, and we're totally glad you're in Charlotte. I've experienced a ton of growth in my 30 years here in terms of subdivisions, and I have a daughter right now that lives in Highland Creek.
Yeah.
Which is the... You know, they're probably the biggest community in this region that mm-hmm. was built by other builders. And they're still building.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They stopped for about 8 years, but they're cranking it up right now. I mean, they're putting roads in and every other thing. I'm assuming it's the same for you.
Yeah. We're LGI is based out of Houston. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got about 80 neighborhoods across the U.S. And, as I mentioned, we do things differently than this. This isn't a commercial for LGI. It's just kind of our wiring. We have a sales manager in every office, and we have four or five sales professionals in each office. Mm-hmm. And we drive traffic to the neighborhood. And we.
You mean you pick people up on the street and drive them into the. I'm trying to do a joke there, Dan. That was.
We actually use buses now.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm assuming you do it online.
We do a lot of marketing online. It's all to drive telephone traffic, and then with the sales professionals. I mean, we go through an extensive 100-day training, which is it's unlike anybody else's. Next week, I go back to Houston with a new salesperson for week three of training.
Can they not sell until they've been through the 100 days? How does that work?
You get an opportunity after 5 weeks to prove that you've got the entire presentation program, all that down.
Cool.
And so we're going to be starting, we're ending week two with my newest salesperson. We're going to Houston for another 5 days of training next week. And the remarkable thing is the president and COO of the company conducts a training.
That's pretty cool.
So how many salespeople do you have on your team?
I've got two on mine. I got promoted because we were having some issues. And so I'm rebuilding now, but typically you have four or five on each team.
And what's the first question? Somebody shows up in your neighborhood. They're there to view some kind of a home, correct?
Yeah.
And they walk into the sample home in the community, and they're greeted, "Hi, Mr. and Mrs. Jones." "Oh, you didn't bring Mr. Jones with you? This is not going to be a good interview."
Many times.
Yeah. Well, my husband couldn't make it, but he said that I could take a look and decide whatever I wanted. So please give me the tour, even though you're all pissed off.
Yeah, we're down to about 2% chance of success now.
Yeah. But tell me, what's the first typical question other than how are you? Did you find the place okay? How's the weather? What's the first real question you ask them?
Well, here's a little more background. We tease and pride ourselves. LGI is in the entry-level market. We are really going after renters. And so our entire program is built around that.
So your houses are 100 grand or 150 grand?
170 to 250. But
okay.
Part of the model is to create, be in an area where the payment is just a little bit more than the rents. And so our job then is to create enough value that people understand that this is a better opportunity than continuing to rent. So that said, most of our locations are in F locations, which F stands for further out.
Oh.
first question we asked most of our customers was, "So how's the ride out?" Mm-hmm. And some of them will tell you straight up, "Crappy." "You're too far away." And we're like, "Well, too far away from what?" And
Bojangles, really, probably. You're probably not too near a Bojangles.
Well, you know, you're never really too far from Bojangles.
That's true.
But the other thing we do, which is way different than Lennar, and I nearly bought a Lennar house in Waxhaw, is we don't really have a model. We have a sales office where in the garage, we call it the boiler room. That's where the sales professional sits. And it looks, Jeff, way more like land sales than it does home sales. If you've ever been around land sales before.
I have.
Well, that's what it looks more like, which that's why this one fit me like a T, because my background is basically in large residential toward the coast, selling home sites to customers, custom home, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Glengarry, Glen Ross kind of land sales?
Well, we like to think we're on the up and up, but yeah.
Well, at least you're on the up. You don't want to get too far up the ladder with land sales.
So, tell us a little bit more. Where did you get your sales start?
Here's a good question. How much time do we have? I got an MBA at Duke.
Mm-hmm.
And
that means you're smart. Yeah, I see the flag. Okay, you got it.
You would think so. I wasn't that smart. I went to school with some really smart people, and I just wasn't that smart. But they let me in. I was one of the lucky ones. But when I came out, I was doing financial modeling for a developer in Chapel Hill. Mm-hmm. And we got the neighborhood financed with Morgan Stanley in 1990 or so. That's the kind of old I am. And my boss came to me one day and kind of looked at me, because that was my job, right? Okay, job done. He looks at me and says, "Well, you got a couple options." He said, "You can sell or you can go find another job." And I was watching the salespeople, you know, every day on the front porch. And they just stand around and talk. And I thought, how bad could that be? And so that started a remarkable journey in my life of how bad could it be? It's like, well, wow. I've gone through several mouthpieces, a lot of stuff, getting there. But in 1991, I got my real estate license, and I started selling. And it
is it easier to sell a new home than it is to sell one that pre-exists in a community?
I have sold some pre-existing. There's pluses and minuses, because typically the pre-existing are a little bit less, so you can kind of get the price bump. But the customers we're seeing, obviously, are looking for new homes.
Mm-hmm. They want something never used before.
Oh, and you know, our presentation's kind of geared around that. Like, you know, you don't have other people's toenails in the carpet, and, you know, you don't have dog stuff, and, you know, your children can actually lay on the carpet. And
I got you. Yeah,
you
and so, but you're in a community, so some of your homes are there, just not one of your homes.
Yeah. Actually, when I was in Gastonia, we were at the end of a existing neighborhood that had, gosh, KB Homes was in there and, oh man, some of the others, but everybody kind of taking a shot in there. Mm-hmm. And because of our sales model, we're really focused on once the customers are there, our presentation, everything is geared around them making a decision today. We're going to give you all the information up front and actually in writing. So folks can make a decision. That being said, you almost trade traffic if you have resales. We had a foreclosure down the street from us, and it was the best traffic builder we ever had. Everybody came to look at that, walked in here, said, what's the deal on that house? And, well, we don't know, but let me tell you about us. And off we go.
Everybody, including you, including me, needs a little help, even if you have trouble admitting it. You know, it doesn't matter how long you've been in sales. The more you learn, the more you earn. It's just that simple. And if your sales needs help, it may be time to consider the Gittimer Learning Academy. It's the fun and easy and gamified way to brush up on sales fundamentals and learn some new advanced strategies to close the next deal. You know, sales, closing, that's what it's all about. Or creating the atmosphere where the other person wants to buy. We have hundreds of hours of lessons on closing, referrals, prospecting, you name it. You won't find a more comprehensive library of sales knowledge anywhere on the planet that you can actually use 1 minute after you learn it. Go to GittimerLearningAcademy.com today and sign up for a free demo. I love free, and so will you.
Our diehards, our listeners, are in all different industries. And so I want to talk about, you know, you're Mr. Profitability. How do you encourage your salespeople? And for those of you who can't see him, which is probably most of you, he's like,
has
his hands up in the air with Mr. Damn Profitability.
It. He's a Duke graduate. He thinks he just won the NCAAs.
I have a
same look.
Yeah. I mean, it starts with who you hire, right, to create that profitability. So how do you choose your salespeople? And what do you look for when you're hiring them?
Well, the guardrails are already in place for profitability. For LGI, unless I want to pay for it, I can't sell a house for less than what's on the price list. Mm-hmm. Period. And LGI does a terrific job. We are, and I could send you the materials. And you know, again, it's not a commercial, but we're one of the most unusual in that our absorption per neighborhood is the highest of any public builder, and our gross margins are the highest of any public builder.
Cool.
And so we've built that into the model. So if I sell a home for less than what's on the price list, somebody's paying for it. And so that's how we make sure profitability is there.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Our prices are fair and our prices are firm.
Very.
And people would, I imagine, want to try and negotiate all the time. So how do you prove that value? What do you do to demonstrate that it's worth what you're listing it at?
Sometimes you just have to break it down, and that's where knowing your competition becomes critical. The new neighborhood that I moved to is a higher end neighborhood. And so it's way different than the model I was just talking about. And we just spent the past 2 days all over South Charlotte looking at the high end neighborhoods. And that's the only way I know how you can prove your value is you can say, look, here's what they have. Here's what we have. Mm-hmm. And just, I mean, pound for pound, you got to know what they're doing. You got to know what you're doing. Mm-hmm.
And cool.
Do you give people ideas about what they can do on their longer drive to work?
Man, that's a great idea.
They can listen to our show. Hello, right. Sell or Die.
Wow. Man, you know what? I'm going to write that one down. We do tell them you can unwind a little bit, you know, in our F location, you have an opportunity to wind down. And so that's funny. No.
Yeah. But there's got to be something to do. I mean, if they're going to ride an extra half an hour a day.
Usually about 15 minutes out. Yeah. I mean, half an hour. I have 15 minutes one way. And what we found, most customers will drive an extra 15 minutes. You know, not everybody.
Them. Yeah.
But
have a nice house and to, you know, to have a first person in the house.
Well, that's where we believe home ownership is more powerful than most things. Once folks get the vision and they see that they can own this, and it's going to change their life. That's the coolest thing about this is we are changing the course of history.
That is cool.
I agree. Home ownership is a wonderful thing.
Well, and Jeff, we got folks that generationally, their families have never owned a home. I mean, if you want to get goosebumps, because we will also do credit qualifying and all that stuff. Our customers are there. Mm-hmm. As a part of our model of exceptional customer service. And we've had customers literally start crying when they find out that they were qualified. Here's something you don't see every day.
Yeah.
When they get the keys at closing, I've got pictures of people jumping up and down, arm in arm, saying, "We finally did it."
Wow.
That's so the cool stuff that gives you goosebumps and makes you go to work every day.
That's cool. Yeah, it's totally cool.
For your other listeners, I don't know. You know, they may be thinking, wow, this is really dull. But
no, I don't want to look at it that way. I think that part of selling is being gratified and being fulfilled. And it sounds like you have a job that both earns you a living and makes you feel great.
There's a customer. I'll just call him Martino. Martino, he works in South Charlotte. In the stories we get, because I mean, all these folks are coming from apartments. Mm-hmm. He literally, and I'm not overstating it, he cried when he found out he was qualified to buy a home. Cried. Then he told us the story after he bought. 3 years ago, he had been involved in drugs and drug dealing, and he was homeless. He put his kids, because he was getting out of that stuff, he managed to move all of his kids into other family members' houses. He had six kids. He went to a homeless shelter 3 years ago. So when he got the keys, we were all crying. And in fact, if I keep going, I'll probably cry too. It was remarkable to hear the story. Just remarkable. And that's the stuff. I mean, it just gives you goosebumps. You think, man, we're doing actually something good. You know, you were talking about Glengarry, Glen Ross. It's like, brother, we're changing lives. And that's the coolest part about it.
That's cool. That definitely
must. So you have plenty of coffee in your place.
I don't drink coffee. That's the great part.
Well, I think it's wonderful what you do. I wonder if you have just a couple of tips that you would like to give some of our diehards regarding your sales leadership expertise and maybe even your face-to-face selling expertise. Just a couple things.
Well, I read a great book written by Jeffrey Gettemer. I read another good book. It's called Extreme Ownership. And there was a quote that came off the page at me. Again, I've got a sales team typically of four or five. And it was in SEAL training. One boat is struggling. You know, they've got these boat teams. Another boat is doing great. They switch the captains. They find out that the boat that was struggling, that captain went to that boat. They went to the top. And the end of the story for that was there are no bad crews, just bad leaders. And so I've looked at that as a real challenge to, if I am to get my people going, it's up to me. And because I don't particularly like them or I don't agree with what they're doing, at LGI, one of our culture points is, and this one blew me away when I interviewed, if an employee fails, it's the manager's fault. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I'm reading that thinking, well, that's cool because I'm an employee. Well, once you got people working for you, it's like, buddy, if somebody fails, it's your fault. And so it really puts the heat on me to find a way to communicate with each individual in a way that gets their performance. And
are you a challenger or an encourager?
Much more an encourager. Much more.
Yeah, I think that's, I mean, for me, I would agree with that. Mm-hmm. I told someone yesterday that I never would reprimand a salesperson for not making enough sales. I would reprimand them for not earning enough money.
Yes. Well, I take it back. Now, here's another key. We have a strong sales process. And so to me, I tell the team, don't worry about the outcome. Let's make sure our execution is excellent. If the execution is excellent, we will be successful. And so I focus on the little things, you know, how are we doing on the phone calls? Are we hitting each of our, we've got a 43-step sales process. Are we hitting all 43 steps?
Wow. Wow.
And if you do, you make on sale. Average, yeah. You're going to be successful.
And I'm assuming this sales process of 43 steps has been tried and true, that, you know, you, if you skip five steps, you miss a sale.
That is a common phrase. Actually, the more common phrase is skip a step, it's not closing.
Wow.
And, you know, right down to the thank you note after the purchase, you know, that's one of the 43. We're very process oriented. There was an article that just came out about we're kind of the new McDonald's because we follow the process. Remember I told you the training?
Mm-hmm.
Man, it's all about process. And so if you ask me the couple of things, it's up to the manager to make it work. You cannot just fire and replace because it's expensive in our deal. Because, I mean, everybody flies to Houston. You spend 2 weeks in an NBC Suites. They feed you every day. You've got the president and COO in front of you for 8 days. So we don't really want to lose people. So it's up to me to make it work when I get back here.
How do you qualify them to even get the job?
As you can imagine, it's a process. We have hiring events.
There's a 23-step evaluation.
Right. No, do you give them any kind of test?
I don't think it's 23.
Do you give them any kind of test?
Yeah. We're looking for certain personality profiles, high D, high I on a disc. But it's just, it comes down to the bosses have done a terrific job of just processing almost everything we do. And some people drive them crazy. If you want to be successful and you can follow a process, it works. And if every company would do it like McDonald's, you start killing it. You
know? I have found that if I'm going to hire a salesperson, especially someone selling a six-figure deal, I would like to know what their sales capability is when they walk in the door. I'm sure you want somebody with some experience, maybe not.
Great question. Yeah. Out of the blocks, we've got three check marks. Have they had sales success? Have they had sales success on weekends? Have they made more than 50 a year? Gosh, what's the third? That's close. History of success, sold on weekends, and have they made more than 50? Those are the first three things we look for. If you don't make it, you don't get to play.
Cool.
You've talked to Zach, I'm sure.
A little bit.
I'm going to have Zach send you our sales assessment. I created it.
Take a see if I get hired.
Well, you'll probably
you might want to use it in your hiring process.
But it's a skills assessment, not an aptitude. It's not a DISC. Uh-huh. It's a, can you pick up the frickin' phone and ask a question?
Always important.
Yeah.
Always important.
Or can you set a meeting and someone shows up for the meeting?
That's a skill we learn. We set lots of appointments. They don't all show up.
Yeah.
So we'll give it to you gratis. You can take it for yourself.
I'd love to see it.
Yeah.
I'd love it.
If you like it, maybe you'll buy it for the whole company. But if you don't like it, you can tell us to shove it.
I'm not going to do that.
Cool.
Well, hey, this has been awesome. It's a pleasure getting to know you and learning about your success.
I'm very happy you live in Waxhaw now.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but yeah.
Well, my wife is kind of also.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, that's totally cool. And you just have to traverse across the world to get from one end of the woods to the other.
Oof. Yep. I don't have to do that. All right. Well,
thank you so much.
Hey, it's a doggone pleasure. It's a doggone pleasure. Welcome to Waxhaw. If you're a sales leader and you just heard this segment and you're thinking, man, I really should get that Gittimer Learning Academy, stop. You need to get the Learning Academy for your entire team so they can get better. And you can track, measure, and monitor everybody on your team after they've taken the assessment and learn about how good they are and or where they need help. And you as their leader can now actually coach them to victory.
If you're a strong, smart, successful sales manager and you want to be featured in our Sales Manager Spotlight series on Sell or Die, all you need to do is email sellordie@gittimer.com. If you know someone or you have a favorite sales manager who's amazing and should be featured, nominate them at sellordie@gittimer.com. Until next time, I'm Jen Gluckow.
And I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, reminding you to get out there and sell something, even if your ass falls off.
Sell or Diehards. If you love the show, make sure you've subscribed.
And if you've subscribed, make sure you rate us on iTunes or give us a star on Overcast.
And if you've done all of that, tell a friend about the best sales podcast on the planet. Or better yet, tell both your friends.
And if you've done all of that, well, you're a true sell or diehard, and we thank you.